Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee for this Friday, March 24th. And we don't have minutes yet from yesterday. This is a continuation of the hearing, although it's a new legislative day. So we start fresh with a new quorum. And we have two items on the agenda today. First, we're going to revisit House File 1322. This is Representative Tabke's a bill on transit safety, and we finally have a fiscal note. And
we do have minutes.
We do have minutes? I was told we don't.
Yesterday?
Oh, this is amazing. So, Representative Petersburg, let's have a motion on the minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just for clarification, as you notice at the end of the minutes, it says the committee was adjourned at the end of the legislative day, yeah. Meaning that we didn't adjourn, we recessed.
Right.
But because it ended up at the legislative day end, it automatically closed out our meetings. And so there is March 23rd minutes in front of us, and I will move them.
Okay. Thank you. But so clarification on the minutes. So because of the legislative day, the recess moves to an automatic adjournment, correct?
Right.
Okay. And that is noted.
Yep.
All right. Discussion of the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All of those, there being two ayes and many abstentions, the motion carries. This is an hour and a half of sleep, members. Okay. Representative Tabke, welcome back. And I will move that House File 1322 be recommended to for re-referral to the Ways and Means Committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So you said earlier that we were bright and fresh this morning. I feel neither of those things whatsoever. But we have 1322. We finally got a fiscal note yesterday afternoon. And I ask for everyone's continued support to move that on to Ways and Means.
Okay, right. Any questions for Vice Chair Tabke on the fiscal note and maybe any other questions about the bill? But we're focused on the fiscal note. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, and again, it's different. The preliminary one, I think, had something to say. That's one of the assumptions is that the counties would pay for part of the cost. Was that taken out? Was that just recalculated or what? I don't see the preliminary one. I thought I had it with me, but I don't.
Vice Chair Tabke.
Mr. Chair and Representative Petersburg, so no, nothing was changed in the fiscal note. That's just that I do not lobby for changes in the fiscal note unless there are major things wrong. And it's my understanding, and I think we have Met Council here that can help with answering this question, that operations 50% is brought forward by the county.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe Andy Lee might have some information, too.
Why don't we start with Mr. Lee and then hear from the Met Council if needed. Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and Representative Petersburg, in the fiscal note, starting on page 4, you'll see the Metropolitan Council section. So the title page is on page 4 for the Met Council, and then the detail starts on page 5. You'll see the $2 million appropriation in fiscal 2023, and then the costs of $3.8 million in 24, 5.5 in 25. The 24-25 biennium, Met Council assumes those costs will be absorbed with federal funds and then is seeking an appropriation in the tails. To the operating agreements with counties, you'll find that in the assumption, after the assumptions of cost and FTEs on page 13 of the fiscal note. This is the end of the Met Council section. And so you can see the note of the local fiscal impact applying to the counties of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Sherburne. And even though there are transit ways in Washington, in Dakota, these are the counties in which there's currently operating agreements that would have to be redone as a result of the legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Representative Petersburg, do you want any additional information or clarification from the Met Council?
Mr. Chair, I think that does resolve it. I thought I saw it in there, and I just missed it. And this one, I'm trying to catch up with what's going on there. So there is going to be some cost to the counties for this in the future years. So thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Any other discussion to the fiscal note, the bill? Any other closing comments, Vice Chair Tabke?
No, sir.
Okay. So, again, we do have a motion that House File 1322 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, the motion prevails. Thank you very much to all that worked on this fiscal note. And now we're going to continue our hearing on House File 580. And you'll recall, yes, because we're in a new legislative day, I'm going to move that House File 580 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus finance and policy bill, mostly finance, a mostly finance omnibus bill. We want to first start off by asking if there's anyone in the public here that wants to testify either for or against House File 580. We finished, I believe, the list of testifiers yesterday, but sometimes there's others that would like to testify. So, yes, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Ann Finn. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities. We are a statewide association of 838 of Minnesota's 855 cities. I want to thank Chair Cagle for this creative approach to funding transportation. I think we need new ideas like this, and the League supports the bill. As you have heard, traditional funding sources are not keeping up, and furthermore, the formula does not recognize the needs in all parts of the system. Chair Cagle has listened to suggestions and made really nice changes to this bill, and I want to formally express our support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Finn. Any questions of the testifier? Okay. Is there anyone else in public here in the audience that would like to testify on this bill? Okay. With that, members, we wanted to leave time for committee discussion. This is a new idea and a big idea and certainly deserves scrutiny. So this is the opportunity now for committee members to ask questions of the author or overall committee conversation. So Representative Petersburg, then Representative West.
I have quite a few questions, so maybe Mr.
Yes,
West, like
I think we you or do you, you can mind? No, you can just ask them as they come up.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Cagle as well. Your A4 amendment made quite a few changes that are just needing clarification, at least for me. The first one that I thought was really surprising was removing the delivery by a motor vehicle. So my question is, what do you perceive as a delivery that would not be by a motor vehicle that would be included in this?
Representative Cagle.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, so sometimes they can be delivered by bike or scooter or along those lines, usually more in kind of densely populated urban areas. But that was actually at a request from, I believe, DoorDash and some of the other industry organizations because it's difficult for them to determine how their dashers are delivered, what kind of vehicle their dashers are delivering.
President Petersburg.
Thank you.
So,
well, I mean, because it could also include curbside delivery.
Correct. Curbside delivery is intended to be not intended to be included.
And is that specified in here someplace?
I don't believe so, but I know that when we did a walkthrough of the language, I was assured by staff that it wouldn't be, and I'm fine if we need to add something in there that would clarify that.
Okay, and thank you. And if it
we continue,
thank you. Appreciate that. So then, the other question I had is in regards to this fee. If I understand how sales tax and stuff works, this fee would also have to have sales tax collected on it. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, we actually made sure that the fee was after the sales tax was collected because I didn't want the sales tax to include the fee because then you're being taxed on the fee. And so my intention is to have it come after all the rest of the total is calculated.
I wasn't sure that that's what it said. I'm trying to figure out where that would have specified it.
And maybe nonpartisan staff.
Maybe Matt might know. Or staff?
We're switching chairs.
You said that with such urgency. Mr. Burris. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, Alex Hagler from House Research. Mr. Chair and Representative Petersburg, on Section 7 of the bill, lines 4.17 through 5.29, that is the sales price definition in the sales tax chapters. And on line 5.2, it specifies that the retail delivery fee would not be included in sales price for calculating sales tax.
Representative Petersburg.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that clarification. The other question that I had was on, so if you order something from like Amazon or eBay or whatever, oftentimes it comes in multiple deliveries. Is that going to be considered one delivery charge or a delivery charge for each package that is delivered to you by a different carrier?
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, so I originally looked at seeing if we could get a per delivery to kind of encourage some of that bundling, but through research and talking with folks, for retailers, it doesn't make sense to have it go to like one centralized hub and then go to a house because they're sometimes coming from different warehouses or distributors. And so if you put 20 items, and they all come from different warehouses, it's still going to be just the one retail delivery. Okay.
Representative Petersburg.
All right, thank you. Let's see, I'm trying to go through here. I'm assuming that this does not apply to if you return a package, correct? Because this is only retail to consumer. It's only the one direction as well.
Representative Cagle.
Correct. So my intention is that, like, if you sometimes you order something on Amazon and before it gets shipped, you can cancel it. If you cancel it, the entire thing would be refunded to you. If the package is actually delivered to your house, I know sometimes when I return my stuff to Amazon, they'll, minus out a return shipping fee type thing. And so once it's at your house, you have paid the delivery fee, and then it's not refundable.
Representative Petersburg.
No, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think I have just two more questions, primarily around just the amount of funds and stuff related. I think I heard, and so I'm going to clarify, Madam Chair, that you had said something yesterday about having some funding specifically for, was it Highway 65 or something else in this bill? And is that something that's a one-time piece, or is that something that's going to be ongoing?
Representative Cagle.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, unless Representative West or Representative Norris make a motion to make it an ongoing, it is a one-time.
And
Representative Petersburg.
So where is that specifically in this bill? A4?
It's in the A4. Mr. Chair, Petersburg, yeah, Section 10. Appropriation, high priority intersection. We didn't name it in there, but all intents, it's Highway 65. If it gives people comfort, I'm willing to change that language too, just to call it out.
All right.
Representative Petersburg.
And my last question revolves around just the distribution of this funds. It looks like, and I'm going to just use the last column on this figure from Andy Lee. This is the little page on top here, because that gives the full 75 cents per delivery for the whole biennium. So the last column is actually the figure. So it looks like it's going to raise, the assumption is it's going to raise $424 million over the course of the biennium. Of that, 190 45% is going to go to HUTD. Large cities is going to get not only the $101 million, but also the 9% of the HUTD as well, which actually brings that up to the, exactly the same amount of dollars as that HUTD is getting. The small cities are getting $80 million, townships $46 million, and then the other delivery. Can you run by through with us how you came up, or maybe it was with you and connection with the chair, and how you came up with that distribution?
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Petersburg. Kind of just looking at the need and figuring out like how we could stack the numbers so that it fit some of those needs that we've been hearing from all of the advocates across the state. That is not something I'm wedded to as far as the allocations. The only thing that I am very protective of as far as the allocations is that 1% to food support organizations. And so I am completely willing to and open to suggestions on how that allocation should be awarded, I guess.
Representative Petersburg.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I think it's probably a kind of a work in progress piece, because in connecting with some of the other fee increases and earmarks for those dollars, large cities are getting a bunch of money in this one. And I appreciate that townships and small cities are getting some as well. So we'll see where the final bill actually comes out. So I appreciate that. But I was surprised that large cities got as much as they did. So thank you. That's it for now for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Other questions? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Cagle. When we're talking about deliveries, and I know I've gotten packages delivered to my house, and both FedEx and UPS, a lot of times they'll put a small package in it, and they won't personally deliver it. They'll put it in the mail at the end, and that gets it to the final mile. So are we going to be charged two fees there, or are we going to be charged one fee in a situation like that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, it would be one fee, so it's basically just at that point of sale. For me, it doesn't really matter how it gets there. It's just that at that point of sale, we collect that fee, and
Representative Nelson. Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does the chair know that you're putting an earmark in your bill? Okay, that's not a real question. I love it. You know I'm a big fan. So in Colorado, the fee is 27. We're all tired here. Is like around 27 cents, and yours is much higher. So how did you come to the determination to set it at that rate? Because you've mentioned Colorado many times when you're presenting. So,
Representative Cagle.
Chair, Representative West. So in Colorado, they were able to do kind of a lot of different things at one time, including a gas tax. And so when I was thinking about this, I kind of thought about the appetite for increasing the gas tax. You know, we've done that. We've tried to do that the past few bienniums, and you know, it hasn't happened. And so really trying to figure out, like, how are we going to meet the need? And even this 75 cents doesn't meet the need of our of our transportation system. So really it's I was thinking about it as like, how would I be able to make those choices in my life so that this could impact me a little bit less? And when it comes to kind of the gas tax, it's like I have to get here every day. My husband has to go to work every day. I have to drive my kid to school every day. And this is something that I might be able to have a little bit more control over. And then just really looking at that need too. So like I said, this is my Taylor Swift anti-hero bill. It's me. I am the problem.
Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I didn't immediately check, but yesterday I checked, and I'm assuming there's no difference. Do you have a Senate author in mind? Is this moving in the Senate, or do they have plans to include it? Because I think they might. They have very different opinions about earmarking in particular, which is the best part of this bill, obviously. But I'm curious, is it going to be introduced in the Senate, to your knowledge?
Representative West, as you well know, we don't necessarily talk about the other body all that much.
It's
in
not
here.
Hostile.
Representative Cagle.
No, so I have been in conversation conversations with the Senate. I have been talking with the chair of the Senate Transportation Committee. I'm not sure why it hasn't been dropped yet, but I know that he said he was planning on introducing it.
Representative West. Representative Norris.
Thank you, Chair Tabke. And, you know, as everybody on the Transportation Committee knows, Representative West, Representative Cagle, and I have been advocating for quite a while on Highway 65. And I just wanted, even though he's not here, wanted to go on the record and thank Chair Hornstein for including this in the amendment, and thank Chair Cagle as well for doing that and including it in the amendment to her bill. I think this is something that we've talked about quite a bit, so I don't need to go over the need, but appreciate the chair and the committee members recognizing the importance of addressing this. It's obviously not going to fully fund the project, but we've got other irons in the fire that we're working on, and this is a substantial piece of progress toward getting the funding we need to address the safety concerns along Highway 65.
Thank you. Anything to say about that, Representative Cagle? Awesome. Any further questions or discussion? All right, seeing none, Representative Cagle, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for the really good discussion. You know, like I said, the need is great out there, and this is just one of the ways that we're really trying to, you know, address the need. I don't want another bridge falling down. We need to do something. As long as I've been here on this committee for, you know, this is my fourth term now, every year we've seen the same folks come up here and testify about how great the need is in their communities and in their counties and all across the state. And so this is just, you know, one of those ideas where hopefully we can really work together to see how we can implement it and start to fill some of those needs across the state. So with that, I will renew my motion that House File 580, what?
You're gonna recess your closing comments for just a second. So just hit pause, Representative Murphy.
Couple mini comments.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We are doing some fine work today.
But we're gonna get it done, Representative Murphy.
I had to mix and match a little bit. I had a delivery business. That was my business for 26 years, and I'm just talking from people that are smaller like myself. So this would require about about $3,000 fee that I would have had to add to the cost of my product for the delivery fee. For just figuring how many deliveries I made a week, how many I do a year. And so it'd be about $3,000 per truck. And then the other thing is that they're all CDL drivers. So we have $2,000 to $5,000 just in CDL. And so there's a lot of costs that are jumping in line for small business owners, and I would have to compete with people that don't have the same type of business as that. They would be like box stores, like maybe a Fleet Farm, and theirs would be different than mine. And so what those are doing is it's really hurting the smaller independent service-like businesses more so than it's hurting the box stores. And that's a concern that I'd have on this. And I don't know. I know that you talked just for a little bit about a possible exemption for agriculture, I think it was. Or it was some, it was just at the very end last time you said some exemptions. Oh, small business. But I think that's worthy of looking at. I do think this is going to hurt small businesses, like small delivery businesses, small service businesses like that have some products that they sell to.
Representative Cagle.
That's my comment. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And one of the things that we had been looking at prior to the committee hearing, just didn't have enough time to get an amendment drafted, and wanted to also kind of get some input as well, is kind of that revenue threshold. I know that that's something that they're looking at in Colorado. Also, one of the things that if you're already getting a permit to deliver, I know one of the first questions I had was for manufactured housing. You know, are they going to have to pay a 75-cent delivery fee on a, you know, on a manufactured house? And I thought that was kind of silly because they're already pulling a permit to get those kinds of things transported. And so those would also be exempt. I also, wholesalers, you know, wholesale delivery, I don't want that. This is, you know, specifically aimed at me.
Representative Murphy.
Yeah, I would like to work with you on that if that's something that would work. With agriculture, we don't charge them sales tax, so this would be a whole new line of charges, a whole new kind of fee. So in agriculture, it's unique too. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. And with that, I renew the motion that House File 580, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill before Representative Fidella shows up or somebody else that we need to talk to.
Totally on it.
All right. So that is what we've got for to handle today. So with that, next week we have Thursday, March 30th. So we do not have a meeting on Tuesday. But we do have a meeting on Thursday, March 30th, in Capitol Room 120 at 8:30 at our normal time. So that's 8:30 to 10 o'clock. And then Friday next week from today, March 31st, is Capitol Room 120 as well, 8:30 to noon. And so that's a long meeting there. So Representative Petersburg, do you have anything you needed to add?
Nope.
Okay. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.